Tonight I want you to turn with me to the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. Right after 1 Samuel. I know it's deep. 2 Samuel. Go to chapter 14. But we're going to read a couple verses in 13 leading up to that. You know how you read the Bible, but then the Bible reads you, and something just comes out at you that I guess you've read over, but you never did notice. It's from a familiar storyline, but maybe not a familiar story here in 2 Samuel 14. But I want you to start, go back up a couple of verses into chapter 13 and verse 38. 2 Samuel 13, 38. We'll start there, okay? So Absalom fled and went to Geshur and was there 3 years. And the soul of King David longed to go forth unto Absalom, for he was comforted concerning Amnon, seeing he was dead. Now, chapter 14, verse 1. Now Joab, the son of Zeruiah, perceived that the king's heart was toward Absalom. And Joab sent to Tekoa and fetched thence a wise woman and said unto her, I pray thee, feign thyself to be a mourner and put on now mourning apparel and anoint not thyself with oil, but be as a woman that had a long time mourned for the dead. And come to the king and speak on this manner unto him. So Joab put the words in her mouth. Okay, stop there a minute. So let's just recap what's going on here. David had sinned against the Lord. We know he was a man after God's own heart. We know that, correct? The Bible says that. But David made some costly mistakes. And well, I don't even like to call them mistakes. He just sinned. He sinned against God, and it cost him so very much. And so we know that just a few chapters previous to this, we know he committed adultery with Bathsheba. We also know that he had conspired and had premeditated murder to send her husband Uriah to the front lines to cause him to be killed. We know that. That's a familiar story. And we also know that Nathan the prophet came to him and gave him a story. And after the story, David was mad and angry and wanted vengeance to be upon on that story. And so Nathan pointed to him and gave those famous lines, thou art the man. And so David grabbed the horns of the altar, we read in the book of Psalms, and he repented. Create in me a clean heart, Lord. He did, and he repented. And we know that. And here, just a few chapters after that, almost an eerily similar happening. Here it is again. David's still having to deal with his sin and consequence. And so the Lord, through Joab, allowed a woman to play a part or to be an actress and to come to him to try to get to David's heart and to David's mind to show him what he was doing wrong. So Joab hired a woman to play a mourner, to play an actress. And he said, here's what I'll do. I've already written the script. I want you to go in and I want you to tell the king everything that I'm getting ready to tell you. So that's what happens. And so she goes forth, and I'll paraphrase to get to where we're going. But she goes forth and begins to tell a story to David. And the story goes like this. She had two sons. One, they rose up and fought with one another. One brother killed the other brother. And so now the family was after the brother that committed the murder, and he ran away and they were trying to go and find him. And so David comes back and he gives her, saying, listen, this is wrong what's happened. And if anybody's going to mess with you and your family, they're going to have to come through me first. He said, that's wrong. And they need to come. You know, you can rest assured justice will be done, so to speak. So here's what happened. Go with me to verse 12. So we have that story. It's up there. She's told him the story. David said, they're going to have to come through me. Justice will be done. Then verse 12, then the woman said, let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak one word unto my lord, the king. And he said, say on. And the woman said, wherefore then hast thou thought such a thing against the people of God? For the king doth speak this thing as one which is faulty, and that the king doth not fetch home again his banished. For we must needs die, and are as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any person. And here's where I want to rest tonight. Yet doth he devise means that his banished be not expelled from him. I'm preaching tonight on this subject on a message of mercy. A message of mercy. I told you the story. The woman tells David, and it's a false story, of course. David said, justice will be done. The woman comes back to him and says, wait a minute, man of God. You have another son that's out there that needs forgiveness. What are you doing to help him? So the story was turned on David. But the problem is that there is a problem with this story. Everything that David was angry about, David was already guilty of himself. We know that, to bring us up to this point, Amnon, his son, committed rape and raped his sister Tamar. And because of that, Absalom, his other son, heard of what happened and then conspired in chapter 13 of 2 Samuel to kill his brother Amnon. So here we have brother against brother. Absalom rose up and killed Amnon. And Absalom, as I read it to you at the end of chapter 13, Absalom ran away because David banished him from the kingdom and said, you can't come around because of what you've done. And see, the problem is David is mad about everything that he's already been guilty of. Amnon committed sexual misconduct. David had committed sexual misconduct. Absalom had conspired to commit premeditated murder. David was guilty of the same thing. Be careful of what you get angry at, because you may have done the same thing in your past. Be careful not to judge others, because may I remind you, as Paul said, such were some of you. There's also pride involved here. There was not only a problem, but there was pride. He wanted so much to go and get his son, but pride would not allow him to do it. I thought about this and I wrote it down. Pride will keep you in the place where anger takes you. Anger will take you many different places in your life, but pride will keep you in that anger. Pride wouldn't let him go and get his son. And so we also see the parallel in this text. The lady tells a fabricated story, but we also know this story lined up with what David was doing wrong. And so David was quick to point out the sin of someone else, but he couldn't recognize the sin in his own life. And I'll just go ahead and confess to you, I've been guilty of doing the same thing. Sometimes it's real easy to look at other people's lives and see how they mess up and how they sin. But may I remind myself that I too have sinned and come short of the glory of God. May we remind ourselves there is none righteous, no, not one. David was so easily faulting someone else, yet he was guilty of the same thing. But in verse 14, she gave a great message. Just a couple of lines, but it was a message of mercy. Let me repeat it to you again. She said, neither doth God respect any person, yet doth he devise means that his banished be not expelled from him. She's talking about God. She said, David, you're not doing what God has done for you. God has already made a way for people to be not banished and not be expelled, and yet you're not showing the same kindness and compassion for your son. So if we look at this tonight, I want you to notice, first of all, the mind of God's mercy. Look with me, it says, yet doth he devise means, talking about God. The word devise in the Hebrew simply means this. It's simple. It means to plan or calculate. That means simply this. Mercy is not an afterthought of God. Mercy is not an afterthought when it comes to God. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, God didn't say, oh boy, what am I going to do now? No, see, God had already had a plan devised. What was that plan? The plan was the lamb slain in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. Before, thank God, Adam and Eve sinned. Thank God he already created a lamb that would be sacrificed. And the Bible says that he made coats of skin and made for a covering for their sin. Aren't you glad that God has already made a way before you sinned, before Adam and Eve sinned? Thank God, there was a plan already created. Hallelujah. And mercy is not an afterthought. Before man had sinned, he had had a plan already in place. Thank God, a plan to save the world. Think about that. Think about a plan to save the world. He knew the world would be sinful. He knew the world would be full of people that would sin and die in sin. But yet, thank God, God in his mercy, thank God, created a plan. What's mercy, Brian? Mercy is not getting what we deserve. We all deserve banishment. We all deserve expulsion. We all deserve to die. But thank God for mercy tonight. Thank God that God made a way. He created a plan. Not only did he create a plan to save the world, let's make it personal. He created a plan to save me. Greg had no idea what I was preaching on, but he gave his testimony about God's plan for him. God's plan for him was an old-fashioned revival at Rosemount with people being saved and him to be by a pool and him to be saved in that circumstance. That was God's plan for him to be saved. God made a plan for me as a five-year-old boy just a couple of miles down the road at Northmoreland Christian Baptist Church. My Uncle Gary preaching about hell on a homecoming Sunday night on September the 6th, 1981. That was God's initial plan for me to be saved. And thank God I was scared to death. My Uncle Gary preaching about, I didn't love God like I love him now, but I knew I didn't want to go to hell, and I knew I deserved hell because I was a sinner. But bless God, as a five-year-old boy, I stepped out to thank God and receive mercy that day. And God has created a plan for you tonight. And you, some of you have fallen into that plan and you have received mercy. Aren't you glad God made a way for you? He created a plan just for you. Maybe it was an old-fashioned preacher. Maybe it was an old-fashioned singer. Maybe it was a Wednesday night prayer meeting service. Maybe it was a Sunday morning. Maybe it was a Sunday night. Maybe it was during silent night saying at an invitation. Maybe it was on the dash of your car. Maybe it was in a jail cell. Maybe, just maybe, it was in a communion service. I don't care when it was, but thank God he made a plan way before you even committed your first sin. Hallelujah. I'm preaching a lot better than you're shouting tonight. We don't appreciate the mercy of God. We do not appreciate it. And David had sinned against God. And because of pride and because of prejudice, he pushed his son out and wouldn't extend him mercy. And yet this lady came and said, wait a minute, David. God already extends mercy. He has devised means for men not to be banished. And you should show the same kindness to your son. And aren't you thankful tonight that even though we deserved hell, hallelujah, God showed kindness to this poor old rotten sinner. And he saved me. Hallelujah. He devised a plan, the mind of God's mercy. Now notice secondly the means of God's mercy, because she said, doth God respect any person, yet doth he devise means. What's means mean? The word means simply says that there is a way or a will of God for his mercy. So yes, there is a plan in the mind of God, but the plan was the way. And what was the way? Well, we know that, don't we? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That means there was a meeting in heaven one day, and God the Father knew that there had to be a sacrifice, and God the Son said, I'll be the way. I'll go down and I'll wrap myself in flesh and suffer persecution and suffer crucifixion so people can be saved. And then God the Holy Spirit said, I'll take what He did and I'll spread it to every heart, to every man all across the world, and to let them know that there is a God that loves them for what He did on the cross of Calvary. Aren't you thankful there is a way tonight, and His name is Jesus Christ? And I know we hear it often at this church and we preach it, but listen, you have to understand that there are many doctrines preached apart from the fact that there is only one way to heaven. There are a lot of churches, a lot of people, and a lot of doctrines that they believe there is another way to heaven. But may I remind you, if Allah was the way, then Jesus wouldn't have had to die. If Buddha was the way, then Jesus wouldn't have had to come. Hallelujah. If Confucius was the way, then Jesus wouldn't have had to die. If I was the way, then Jesus wouldn't have had to die. But thank God, I ain't the way. They weren't the way. You ain't the way. Jesus is the one way. One way. One way. I read a story of a missionary to Africa that had guides to take him to certain remote villages. And he had asked God to take him to as many remote villages as he could. And he had a map to guide him and guides to take him. And he ended up at a village and thought maybe his journey was over. The map did not show any more villages or towns. So he thought maybe this was it. But he remembered hearing of a remote village that wasn't on the map that maybe he could get to. He talked to his guides when he got to the village that he was staying in. The guide said, no, we have no idea what you're talking about. We've heard of something like this, but we don't know the way to get there and we can't help you. So he talked to the chief of the village, told him his problem and said, I need to get to that place, but I don't know the way. I don't know how to get there. And he said, well, it's too late this evening. Get some rest. And in the morning, be ready before sunup and I'll have someone ready to take you and show you. So he wakes up, and as the sun was coming up the next morning, there was a man standing outside his little tent there he was staying in. He was a big, large, scruffy man. Tell his skin was dark tan, and he had been there for quite some time. He had scars on his body that had been healed over. And he had a machete on his side. And they communicated, and he said, sir, I'm here to take you to that remote village. And he said, how do you know? He said, just trust me. And they go into that remote jungle with weeds and who knows what. And all he did was follow that guide. And he had no idea where he was going. And that guy would just take a machete and just chop down small trees and brush, just trying to get through everything. And the missionary noticed that throughout the journey there would be trees that had, he knew had been marked, but had been healed over. And it was thick and they had traveled all day long. And they almost got, the sun was coming down, and he stopped the guide and he said, sir, I don't mean to speak evil and I don't mean to say you're wrong, but how do you know the way to this remote village? And he said, oh, you don't understand. I know exactly where this remote village is because I came from that village. These scars you see on my body, I received from coming from that village to the village where you were just at. See these marks on the trees? I made them marks when I left that place and came to this place. So see, sir, I am the way. And if you're going to get to that village, you're going to have to follow me because I'm the only one that knows how to get there because I came from there. Hallelujah! Aren't you glad for a God and a Savior that can take us to a place that's not on a map? Hallelujah! But how can He take us there? Because He came from there, and the scars are proof. Thank God that He came from there, and He's the only way. Hallelujah! Because He can take us to where He came from. Hallelujah! The means of mercy. A lot of people say, "Old saints in the Old Testament didn't get saved." How did the saints in the Old Testament get saved? I'll tell you how they were saved. I'll tell you how they obtained mercy. The same way we did. They looked forward by faith. And we look back by faith. They looked forward because they knew deep down inside that a lamb wasn't going to get it done. They knew a turtle dove wasn't going to get it done. They knew a bullock wasn't going to get it done. But thank God they looked forward to the day when the lamb slain in the mind of God would die on the cross of Calvary and make a way where they could obtain mercy. And aren't you glad that we can look back over 2,000 years now by faith and still see Him on the cross and still know He is the only way? The means of mercy. The mind of God in His mercy. Now notice the motive of His mercy. What's the motive? The last part of the verse says that His banished be not expelled from Him. What's the motive? Why in the world would God the Son, Jesus Christ, come and suffer? Why would He go through the agony that He did? Why would He go through all that He did? Here's why. So that one day we could obtain mercy and not be expelled permanently. That's the motive. Because He wanted to extend mercy to people that really didn't deserve it. Did Absalom deserve mercy? No. But neither did David. And David received it when he repented on the altar. And this woman was saying, hey, you obtained mercy, so why not show some mercy? I never did get in trouble at school very much. I know there's an altar later. I can go to it. No, I wasn't so much scared of the principal or whatever. I was scared of what would happen when I got home. Because mom and dad didn't spank me. They whooped me. Amen, right? And a whooping just spares your life inches from eternity. If you know my dad, and you ever seen his hands, I got pretty large hands, but my dad's hands are huge. He didn't have to use a belt because his fingers wrapped around my body. So I got whooped twice, once with the palm, next time with the fingers. So I knew, I only got whooped once or twice and I can remember. Now my sister, that's a whole other story. So, but I did get in trouble one time. And kids, you better be thankful you're living in this generation. Because when I was in school, they had a paddle. And they were not, Mr. Jerry Ruark was not afraid to use a paddle. How many Memphis people know what I'm talking about? And so, I went to Clay from kindergarten to second. I do have a point to this. Just hold on. And so when we moved to Shoemaker Edition, then I moved to Minford. And so I started third grade out at Minford. Mrs. Gammon was my third grade teacher. And so I don't really know all the circumstances around it. All I knew was I was a wrestling fanatic. Hold on. Let me rephrase that. Wrestling fanatic. Wrestling is something you do in the Olympics. Wrestling is what you watch on television. And so, you know, Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan, that's what I watched on Saturday nights as a kid. So I knew this, and for some reason, there was a couple of girls that were picking on one of my friends. And so I just took them by the head and went, bam. And, you know, on TV, it's fake. But when you do it in real life, it really happens. And so, bam, knocked them right in the head. And they started crying. And I'm like, uh-oh, that wasn't, you know, that doesn't the way it happened on TV. So I knew I was in trouble. And all right away, I knew what was coming. So I acted like nothing happened. Which, you know, everybody knew it was me because everybody's like, you know, pointing at me. So I got called to the office. And I knew what was going to happen. And His paddle was hanging on the wall there. It didn't have any holes in it, thank God. It didn't matter. I knew I was going to get a paddle in there, and then I was going to get a whooping when I got to the house. Because Dad's pharmacy was right over the hill, and he knew everything before I got home. So I sat down there, and he was very kind as he could be, because he knew what he was getting ready to do, and I knew what he was getting ready to do. And I hate those talks. Won't you just get it out of the way? Just assume the position and know that it's coming. And so he had to do this, but he threatened me with suspension. And then beyond that is expulsion. So I really didn't fully understand what those terms meant. All I knew was when you heard kids getting suspended, something really bad's happened. And that put the fear of God in me. And then I really found out what suspension and expulsion, what the difference was. And when I found out, I was very thankful that I got a paddling. And when you look at it that way, Mr. Ruart extended me mercy. Because here's the difference. Suspension, I was going to have a couple days off, but I was coming back. But expulsion means clean out my locker, clean out my cubby, say goodbye to my friends, say goodbye to my teachers, because I ain't coming back. And friend, I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that God has made a plan. I'll be honest, I've been suspended a few times in my life, but thank God I've never been expelled. Because he made a way to extend me mercy. And God's whippings hurt. They hurt. And I've had quite a few over my life. And I've missed the mark. And I've sinned. And God has extended me mercy. And so tonight, I want you to know that that mercy is available to you. It is. No matter what you've done, God has made a plan. His motive is so that you can receive it. So just come and say yes. You deserve so much more and so much worse. But thank God he has mercy. And we all need to be thankful for that this evening.